due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Unless you're going to sit over there and enjoy WrestleMania like a nice little fan, why don't you get the hell out of my ring?
You need to understand something, Miss Steph. Any ring I step into is mine. If you want me to leave, how about you make me?
This is Ronda Rousey, and you're listening to The Cage Clinic on Sports 1280 on WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for April 4th. Just a couple holidays. It's Walk Around Things Day. It's always good to walk around then through, apparently. School Librarian Day and Tell a Lie Day. I've got a lot.
Tell a lie?
Tell a lie. I can tell you the results of WrestleMania that would be a lie, but I'm not going to. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. Join us Sunday, April 26th for WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. Starts at 8 p.m. We'll be there. We may have some stuff to give away. And, of course, there's never a cover for WWE pay-per-views. Come join us April 26th for WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. If you're into UFC, the day before, April 25th, we'll be there for UFC 186. Not really sure of the main event right now because the guys I have on the list here just got hurt, one of them. So we'll know who soon. We got a couple weeks to figure it out, but we'll be there also. Hosting UFC 186, April 25th. There's a $5 cover for all UFC, none for WWE. So come on out and join us. It'll be spend a weekend with the Pain Clinic, the 25th and 26th. Hey, interested in roller derby? Fancy yourself a skater? The job of being an official more up your alley? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact Bell at rcrd.recruitment@gmail.com and become one of us, the few, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. And I want to mention one thing. This new Rock City Roller Derby, Derby After Dark show. It starts at midnight tonight on CW 16. And you might hear my dulcet tones, my voice there. We did some taping. We're going to do a new show for a while and check it out. It's going to be on CW at Saturday nights. It's at midnight tonight. I'm not sure when it'll be permanently, but check it out. Set the DVR to record if you're going to be asleep, but definitely check it out. So, hey, I'm the Cash Man, Richie Rich. I'm here with DC Dan Cole. Good morning, DC.
Good morning.
and the artiste, Rob Sanderson. How's it going, Rob?
I feel like I was just here. Good morning.
It looks like you were. There was all this stuff propped up on the computer there for that, ready for the game today, right?
I left here at 12:20, and I'll be back here for some more Rochester Americans hockey tonight.
Very good.
They're in the Midwest, which means later broadcasts, which, yeah, I'm here this weekend.
Very cool. So how was the game last night? I know they were down 2-0. Sorry. I was listening when they were down 2-0 in the first. So.
They lost 6-0 to the worst team in the league.
Iowa.
Yeah.
They're out in Iowa.
That's all you need to say to recap that game.
Okay.
See if they can rebound tonight against the Rockford Ice Hogs.
So they're moving closer to the East Coast then. Rockford, Illinois, right?
Yeah. 4 hours northeast, I think. Of Des Moines, yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, well, hey, welcome to the show. I want to, and what time is the game tonight?
7:30 pregame, 8:00 faceoff.
Okay,
postgame till 11.
Very cool. Hey, by the way, let me throw this out there. In the next segment, we're going to have another WWE Hall of Famer on the show.
Wow, another one.
Yeah, we had three last week in the studio, and we'll have one on the phone with us. Booker T is joining us to promote his brand new book. Just came out. The book is called Booker T.
Book's book.
My Rise to Wrestling Royalty.
And, which was Book's book.
It's Book's second autobiography, and this one is wall-to-wall wrestling. Cannot wait to talk to him about it. He'll be on in our next segment. But before that, I guess we might want to dabble on and talk a little bit about what happened last weekend. WrestleMania 31. I want to apologize. I was completely wrong. The cash man, you can say you're wrong, 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 wrong. I was wrong because I said nothing ever special happens. They stick with the plans. Well, not so much.
I thought you were talking about the Sheamus thing.
Well, oh, that too. That too. I'm wrong on everything. Okay. I give up.
actually, you know, after WrestleMania 31, I was kind of like you, Cash. I actually did go home and I wrote a letter.
Uh-oh.
With my thoughts.
Oh, boy.
And if you wouldn't mind indulging me.
Sure.
I put a lot of thought into this. You know, for as big as a critic as I was for everything leading up to WrestleMania, I was not optimistic about WrestleMania itself. But I have a letter here.
We get letters. We get letters every day.
And it reads, Dear WWE, I'm sorry. I love you.
Sincerely? That's
it. Sincerely me.
Oh, wow. Well, that
now, I'm glad I wrote that late Sunday night and not Monday night because I wasn't a huge fan of Raw.
Yeah, the luster was off, you know.
But, I mean, for as much as they abuse the idea of a WrestleMania moment, the end of WrestleMania 31 was a actual moment.
It was.
Don't let any other things that they say, oh, what a WrestleMania moment, fool you. No, that was a moment.
Yeah, you mean Ronda Rousey wasn't a moment before with the Rock?
No.
Well, The Rock pointed out said it was a moment, but...
Well, of course he did.
Yes, because it was at that point. There was a bunch of moments leading up to the moment.
Call me crazy. I'd like my WrestleMania moments to have something to do with wrestling at WrestleMania or matches.
Yeah, no, so not promos.
Not promos or and celebrity appearances.
Jacking Stephanie McMahon's arm.
Yeah, no, yeah. No.
222-1280 star 1280 is the phone number. We got 2 hours today, folks. We're going to be on till noon. Thank you so much, Kick This, for giving us the time again to do a post-WrestleMania 31 wrap-up, we'll say. Got lots and lots and lots to talk about, as well as Booker T coming on in the next segment. So, you know, give us a call if you have a question, comment, or anything. And you can also text us at that number. We can read your texts, and we can reply to them. And, you know, we did get quite a few last week. Didn't really mention a lot of them. But we did quite get a few. I mean, Mr. Sanderson here is probably becoming an expert at using this because he's doing this during the hockey game all the time, right?
Yeah, there's some interesting texts. Keep them easy to read, please.
Yeah, easy to read.
Yeah, but yeah, we got to clear out some of these texts. They load up a little bit too slow on some of these machines.
True, 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 true. And I mean, obviously, you're not in the arena in last night in Iowa. You're here.
I wish I was. Yeah. I like Des Moines, Iowa. Underrated city.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
The rest of the state, there's not much. There's cornfields, but Des Moines pretty nice.
Very cool. Well, let's talk a little bit. Okay, WrestleMania overall. Well, we got
loved the ending. Loved it. I popped. I remember my arms being up in the air at the garage door when Seth Rollins came out. We talked about it and whether or not it would happen. Reports are out there. I don't know where people are getting the information that Seth Rollins didn't find out about this. Until the Ronda Rousey segment.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Which is cool. I thought they did it well. I was really coming around to Brock Lesnar. And I complained so much last year because Brock was not around. And at least now he's not going to be around without the title, which is fine. But I didn't really like how things went down on Monday. If Brock has to disappear, so be it. But I didn't like that basically, I really liked when Rollins came out and got right in Brock's face. I was like, this is making Seth Rollins look strong. This is great. And then he's running away.
Yeah.
And Brock is the one that's legitimately running away to go sit at home now.
For 2 months.
He's done a great job when he's around. I will give him that, and I hope he comes back soon. But why do you have to make the brand new champion look weak like that when Brock's going to be gone anyway? I understand Seth Rollins is a bad guy, but I wish you would let him look a little bit more prominent than they did on Monday.
WWE's number one rule, a heel champion can't look strong.
Yeah, no, at least not in the beginning, that's for sure. I mean, Brock Lesnar, yes, he was strong. He was very strong right up until the end. That's the thing, too, is I guess it really is going to teeter on how the numbers look, you know, on TV, because they love what Brock Lesnar did the last 2 months up till this pay-per-view. They loved everything. And if they can continue on with it, I would hate to put a pause on that and then have Heyman come out and do what he did last year after WrestleMania, which was introduce himself and then say, you know, and introduce Brock and use the same verbiage over and over and over to the point where now it's on T-shirts as well as people are singing along with it in the crowd. You know, I mean, he definitely went over as a face, I think, on Monday night. That's a feeling I got until he started beating everybody up.
No, he was still a face.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the fans, you know what? I was a little disappointed in the fans Monday night. And I'm sorry if you're listening anywhere in the world and you flew in for WrestleMania. You know, some of the, there were some really crass things that they were chanting during the Bellas match. I mean, I understand, you know, it's okay to, you know, take over the show or think you can. But
that crowd sucked.
I didn't think they were good
at
all.
That was the worst post-WrestleMania Raw crowd that I've seen in many years.
Yeah, you know, I think that definitely. I mean, and there were some funny stuff they were saying, but overall they weren't organized. You know, they needed someone to go out there and like with a megaphone to cheerlead them to get them to do it at the same time. And overall, I didn't think, you know, it was. And plus the show, I mean, how many recaps of WrestleMania did we see during that show Monday night? How many, you know, different five-minute video vignettes did we see?
I know Artiste is a fan because he loved hearing that song over and over again.
Get a go.
Yeah.
Would you rather have that or the race car from Fastlane?
I will say, though, in terms of the performance at WrestleMania, I mean, there's been some really bad ones over the years. I didn't really mind Skylar Grey, and I like Travis Barker, so I was okay with that.
It wasn't as long as, say, like Kid Rock when he came out. You know, I don't think that...
There's been some atrocious WrestleMania.
Well, we saw P. Diddy down
Motorhead.
In...
Motorhead.
Yeah. We saw P. Diddy down in...
Limp Bizkit.
P. Diddy. At WrestleMania 29.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of P. Diddy. He wasted an entire day of my life in school.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah?
Promoting a concert that we all went to on campus. And they kept saying on the microphone, like, Snoop Dogg's here. All these people are here that were going to be performing. They weren't there. And it was like, it was that Vote or Die campaign, which was supposed to be this like nonpartisan thing, whatever.
Yes, nonpartisan.
And, yeah. It ended up being like super partisan, whatever. I don't care about that part, but like, they kept saying like, it started many hours late and then people they were saying had just arrived, never came out. So clearly they weren't there, like Snoop Dogg. Which I was looking forward to a little Snoop loop, but he didn't show up. So P. Diddy, I won't forgive you for that. And Coming Home was the worst WrestleMania theme of the years.
I'm coming home.
Why didn't they get Peter Gabriel to do big time that one
year? I would have loved that. That would have been really cool.
I've always wanted him to play out Triple H with Sledgehammer.
That would be good, too. Maybe they'll use that next year. I mean, I don't think Triple H is done. I mean, you know, he did go over Sting, so... got to go to break. We got to get the 30, and according to the front of the book, 35-time wrestling champion, but the five-time WCW champion on the phone here in the next segment to talk about his brand new book. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on, oh, by the way, we're on 2 hours. Did I mention that? Yeah, I think I did. We're on Fox Sports 1280.
They've been trying to get people to get behind it, ain't
we? We got it.
Maybe we can do it. All right, you ready? New Day! Listen.
Damn it, I ain't feeling it.
This is Booker T coming to you from the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Now, can you dig that?
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man, Richie Rich, here with the Artiste, Rob Sanderson, and DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, and Mark Fantasia. Hot tubbing of love, something like that.
Spring cleaning, got to scrub.
It gets messy then. All right, I want you to know Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don't Slight Empire Culver. Join us April 26th for WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. Starting at 8 p.m., we'll be there, have some stuff to give away. Of course, there's never a cover for WWE pay-per-views. Come join us April 26th. That's almost a month from now. It's like 4 weeks from today, tomorrow, for WWE's Extreme pay-per-view. We already got two matches set for it, so we're definitely looking forward to you know, how it's going to get. You know, you guys mentioned Brock Lesnar before in the last segment, and he made Seth Rollins look weak, but now Seth Rollins, at the end of SmackDown, we get to find out Seth Rollins will be taking on Randy Orton in the main event. And, of course, Randy Orton beat him earlier in the show on WrestleMania, if you remember that. Remember that incredible That curb stomp that turned into the RKO.
That was outstanding.
Yeah, that was good.
A different way to do it, that's for sure. But so that's going to be the main event. John Cena is going to be taking on Rusev again, maybe for the last time.
And we will not see AJ Lee.
Yes, big news. Big news last night. AJ Lee has officially retired from the WWE. Came out and she's done. We saw her on Raw and she wrestled, but she's done.
And the rumor mill's a-churning.
Yeah. What do you, I mean, does that have anything to do with her husband? What do you guys think?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, to me, this is not surprising whatsoever with everything we've heard from AJ and Punk's camp and AJ being gone for so much of last year. I think it's totally influenced by Punk because AJ's not very old. And when you think about how long her career was and, you know, all the videos and everything, all she talked about growing up such a gigantic wrestling fan, making it there and not really being around for that long. I mean, what did she come in like 2010 maybe through?
The Diva Search.
Was it NXT?
Well, she started.
Or was she with?
Did she start with the Diva Search? She was one of the. Yeah, she started with the Diva Search, and then she went to NXT. Because I'm pretty sure.
I don't think. No, because I mean, she was originally working the Indies in Jersey, and then maybe she did some like FCW or something. But she did that girls season of NXT with Caitlyn. I think she won it. But I mean, that was just a few years ago. I mean, we're talking maybe I don't know 4 years ago or so. And AJ is now 28. She just turned 28. So yeah. I think there's pretty good signs in there that, like, she could have kept going for a long time, and this was her dream her whole life, and she's giving it up. That screams CM Punk to me. But
that also
means we don't have to hear that stupid chant anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Although I told Cash, Extreme Rules now in Chicago becomes very interesting.
You know why I thought it was Diva Search? Because it was the all female NXT that she was part of.
Yeah.
I forgot about that with Caitlyn and a whole bunch of other ladies.
She officially signed with WWE in May of 2009. Did some work with FCW, then NXT, and then all the way up.
Yeah, she was trained. We heard some of her history. She was trained by now I forgot his name.
Dude. Jay Lethal?
Jay Lethal. I was going to say the Black Machismo from TNA at the time, but Jay Lethal, he trained her, and actually they were dating her at one time, I believe. So, and you know, the thing is remember, there's so much stories about her and, you know, being a fan of Lita and stuff like that, to the point where when she first got to wrestle on WrestleMania, when she got to meet her, they had that video of her crying. When she got to meet Lita, it's pretty, pretty cool. And you know what? She's still got a lot of career ahead of her. I wonder what's going on. I mean, there's, like we said, rumors that possibly, and I don't know if that's, I mean, I'm not even going to throw it out because we heard she was pregnant about 100 other times. But, you know, maybe that could be it. You never know. I mean,
she just wrestled Sunday.
I know.
I mean, but put yourself in her position.
As long as she don't get kicked in the stomach, you know?
Yeah, you're bumping. Yeah. No.
I mean, put yourself in her position. That cannot be the best work environment when your husband left the company.
There's
the litigation. And I'm sure, you know, they make her life miserable backstage.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's awkward. And I'm sure she couldn't appreciate, as somebody that kind of stood up and fought for the Divas division. I don't even, I'd rather call it like women's wrestling, to be honest. But she couldn't have enjoyed the CM Punk chance. I was wrong, by the way. Caitlyn won season 3 of NXT.
That's right.
But she's also left as well.
Oh, she left a long time ago.
Was that 2 years
Apparently
ago?
Apparently she's still like really good friends with her, apparently.
I know she still shows up backstage at some of the shows, and she's doing her own, back to the bodybuilding stuff, and she's got her fitness clothing line and stuff like that, but
I think it's a big loss for that division, especially since AJ Lee is the one who started the Give Divas a Chance. Yeah, she's the one who started that whole thing, and then WWE kind of like opened their eyes and gave them some more time on TV.
Did they though?
Yeah.
I don't really think we've seen many results from that. I think I'm hopeful that happens with how much talent is still in NXT. I mean, you think of like, Neville debuted on Raw, and I'm really hoping that Charlotte or somebody comes up soon. I don't know. Sasha's got the belt, so maybe she'll stay in NXT a while, but it's about time for Charlotte to get called up.
There was some news last week or from last weekend that Vince McMahon actually was at his very first NXT show in San Jose, and that he loved it so much that he gave them the okay to go an hour over curfew time, which cost them a bit more, I guess. But he also immediately wanted to bring up all the women he saw out there wrestling, so including Charlotte. So.
All I know is I heard a rumor yesterday that there could be an NXT show, or at least one, next month at Temple in Philly, the arena where TNA ran two pay-per-views.
Yeah, what was that called again?
The Leah Cora Center.
The Leah Cora Center, yeah.
So if that happens, I'll be pumped. And also happy that there won't be an NIT championship banner hanging from this year, too, because that would just make me super bitter.
Okay.
I would love to see an NXT. Well, I guess I've seen an NXT house show, but if they bring TV in there, that'd be awesome.
Well, the thing is they were talking about doing the ECW arena. Then they realized that they could fill a 5,000-seat auditorium, and that's way more than the ECW arena could hold.
Yeah, I mean, the ECW arena right now could hold maybe a couple thousand. Leah Cora Center is 10,206, I believe. Right. So,
and they'll be packed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll draw really well. And then maybe, I don't know, you get some more success on the road, when does this become a regular thing? I mean, if you can make money at it.
Don't you think it's going to make indies hate them even more if that's what they're going to do?
I don't think there's plenty of people in indie wrestling that hate WWE and think that they're better than WWE, blah, blah, blah. But I don't really know anybody in the indie world that hates on NXT. I think that's the one thing that everybody involved in indie wrestling appreciates, because it's a little indie style. It's given a lot of indie guys a chance. It kind of exposes that style of wrestling a little bit more. Obviously maybe it's competition, you could say, but I don't really think, I mean, if NXT comes to your town and you like that kind of style of wrestling, and then there's an indie show a couple weeks later, by the way, 2CW in Watertown tonight and ESW in North Tonawanda tonight.
Oh my.
So
what are you going to do? Split yourself in half and go to both?
I will be halfway between right here in this seat doing Rochester Americans.
Oh,
tonight.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. 2CW's got Hacksaw, Scotty, a kind of bitter Scotty Too Hotty. Well, I think he has a good point.
Oh, about what Rikishi?
About Rikishi not mentioning Too Cool.
Yeah, not at all. Neither Too Cool.
He didn't really mention the Head Shrinkers. Like, he mentioned his family in the Hall of Fame. This is a total tangent.
I know.
How do you not mention Too Cool? Like, that was three guys.
Yeah, and that's really kind of what turned Rikishi into a face.
I hated that speech.
Yeah.
And, he's somebody that between indies and the Ballpark Brawl, like, I've had encounters with, and I just don't... that's one way to put it. I'm not a big fan of his after that speech. I thought it was very much like me, like, and you had like a lot of his career was either in Too Cool or in the Head Shrinkers and stuff. Like, yeah, he did some stuff on his own.
Or doing it for The Rock.
Nah, you know what? He did it for himself. I don't think he really did it for The Rock.
Yeah.
But maybe he was right in saying he's a bad man.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm a bad man.
Well, yeah. And Sky Too High is going to be there, and there's some other guys,
Hacksaw
too.
Hacksaw is there tonight. Samoa Joe. Against A.R. Fox.
New free agent. And A.R. Fox, a guy WWE is courting now for NXT.
Yep.
I've read that recently.
So that's in Watertown tonight, night one of Living on the Edge 10, and then... if you wanted to head west, ESW is in North Tonawanda tonight with Johnny Gargano and my favorite, Candice LeRae.
Oh, yes.
So there's a lot of options for you tonight.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Very cool. I know that there's no longer going to be an FWE show in Rochester either. Remember that show we had promoted? We talked about 2 months ago.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, they decided to cancel that date. Mm. And it looks like it's taking that whole company down, too. Not only that date, but a couple other dates in New York. So if you guys had tickets, you probably should have been refunded by now, at least.
Glad I didn't buy that Groupon deal.
Yeah, there was a Groupon deal. Unfortunately, now we don't get to see AJ Styles in town here. That's really, one of the big pluses.
How many times? I'm just going to bite my tongue. I love this.
How many times have we got to see that dude in town? I mean, that's well worth to go see him. So, but
I don't know. I mean, he's been around at least Buffalo, and I mean, again, these towns like Rochester crowd. Oh, I shouldn't go into all this. There's indie wrestling close enough, and I've seen AJ Styles a lot, whether it be with, you know, 2CW in Rome, which is just a couple hours down the road. I mean, if you want to see these people, there are options. Styles was in here once before, wasn't he?
Didn't he come in upstate in 08 or something? Yeah, he did come in once, and he sold, and actually they did great.
He would have come in with to Buffalo and Elmira and Watertown and Rome and stuff. So quick little drives, especially this time of year. The weather's getting nice, but yeah.
Well, as we wait for Booker T, 222-1280 Star Toys, the number, we have a call on the line right here. I probably should start the software so I can actually answer the phones on the radio. We've got Ricky from Elmira. Oh, look at that. Sounded great. What was that?
Sounded like iTunes.
Yeah, hold on. Ricky from Elmira. Ricky, you there, buddy?
Yeah, it's Palmyra, not Elmira.
Oh, I'm sorry. Palmyra. Sorry.
Get it right, Cash.
Okay, what's up,
Are
buddy?
Are they different in the end? No, I'm kidding.
It's a little bit of a drive for Elmira. So thanks for calling. What's up, man?
Yeah, was it last week there you had the Hall of Famers on there?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was an honor to talk to him.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, because I remember when Valentine, I first saw him on TV with his dad there. Yeah, first time I saw him, I thought he was one of the Fargo brothers, because he actually looked just like one of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did actually go as a Fargo brother at one time, didn't he? I think that was one of his early gimmicks. But, yeah, pretty. Did you get a chance to meet him? Because they were all over Rochester.
No, I didn't. I was busy that day, and I wanted to meet him, but I was kind of busy all day here doing things and stuff like that. And I couldn't go see him enough. And then when Tito there, when I talked to him, I remember him with him and Putski there. I believe when they won the tag team belts there, it was from the Wild Samoans.
Tito Santana. Yeah, I'm not sure. Sounds good. You know more better than I. We could look it up online, but you're probably correct. The Wild Samoans, I remember they lost them to Rick Martel and Tony Gurria one time. So
yeah.
So anything else, buddy?
That was it.
Okay, thanks for calling, man. 222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. We had three Hall of Famers. You know, I'm still kind of stunned by that, because that was pretty cool last week, you know, hanging out with three guys in the WWE Hall of Fame. I thought it was a really great question that Dave asked from Henrietta last week about how come they weren't there, you know, for the festivities last week. And, you know, I mean, like Greg Valentine said, I was there 2 years ago. I just got stuff, you know, bookings and stuff. So, you know, they got to make some money. So,
ooh, I'm just picking up the news and looking at Monday, June 8th.
Oh, yeah. It's a big one. Why don't we talk about it on the flip side? We're waiting on Booker T still, but we can go to break, and then we'll talk about it.
I would say amongst these pages of news, that might be the best news there is.
Yeah, it was just announced yesterday, too. We're going to have a special appearance by a WWE Hall of Famer in town here coming up, and we'll tell you who it is on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Get ready to feel the...
And it's not this guy.
Five. That look, Steph, means that if you keep running your mouth, she's going to reach down your throat and pull your insides out and play jump rope with your fallopian tubes.
Either Drew Galloway is the toughest man alive, or he's the dumbest man alive. I'll tell you the right answer. I'm a little bit of both, to be honest. A couple of weeks ago, you tried to end my career and hit me in the head with a steel pipe. I'm talking to you, Loki. I had a choice. I could have given up. I could have laid down like a dog. Actually, screw that. I would never have laid down. I decided to stand up.
Get ready to feel the...
There's a famous match of mine. And there was a famous line I said once. I'm still standing. With the support of my family, I'm really standing. With the support of all these creatures, I am simply rocking standing.
Hey, this is Bret the Eight-Man Hart. You're listening to the Pain Clinic.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the cash man, Richie Rich, here with the artiste, DC Dan Cole. And you might have heard this guy's music a second ago. This is kind of a tie to the announcement about who's coming to Rochester June 8th. That's right. Bret Hitman Hart will be at the Rochester Red Wings game, pregame, doing an autograph signing, as well as coming out for the opening ceremonies. That'll be Monday, June 8th, against the Indianapolis Indians. Bret the Hitman Hart in Rochester. That's pretty cool. Hopefully we get him on before he comes to town. He's been a friend of the show. He's done a couple things for us in the past, so definitely I'm a lot, big, huge contingent of Bret Hart fans here in town, including the artiste.
Yeah, I grew up a pretty big Bret Hart fan, except when he wrestled his brother Owen, and then I would root against him. But every other match, I mean, when him and Michaels would feud, it would be a little tough for me as well. But I usually picked Bret as my favorite growing up in those matches. So good to see he's coming back to town.
Yeah, he was champ for they call it the post steroid era. He was the champion, and he had some great matches with Shawn Michaels. Him and Shawn Michaels, and you know, pretty much invigorated WWE during that period, which led to Diesel. I mean, Kevin Nash goes into the Hall of Fame last week as being the longest termed champion of the 90s in the WWE, which really surprised me. I mean, it must be continuous because it was a full year, I think, he went before he lost it. Mm-hmm. But Bret Hart had to have more time cumulative with that championship in that period because he held it so many different times.
And then Bret was pretty instrumental, I would say, in the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin through 97, essentially, as well. So, I think he's still a little bit underrated after all things are considered. And it's too bad that Eric Bischoff didn't know what to do with him.
He's got a great book out there if you want to read it. He'll be in town June 8th at the Red Wings game, I think 6 to 6:45. He's going to be doing autograph signing, then doing the pre-show, and I'm sure he'll be available at other times. But he'll be in town, so definitely go out and meet the Bret the Hitman Hart June 8th, Rochester Red Wings. And also Greg the Hammer Valentine's coming back in August to do a signing at the Red Wings Stadium, too, during the Red Wings game. So look for both of those. But, man, I cannot wait. I mean, actually, 1 week from today is a home opener for the Red Wings. And, hopefully it will get a day sunny like this, maybe a little bit warmer out.
You got that 50-degree guarantee,
ooh,
right?
That's right. That's right. You get a free ticket if it's – and I remember I've gone to a few where I know it's been in the 40s, so you go with a parka on to a baseball game. But, it warms up, and it's a lot of fun. So definitely check it out coming up this summer. And as we get closer, I'm sure, I will put the pressure on to see if I can get them on a little bit harder, I'm sure he will. Maybe he'll tape something with us or whatnot. But let's go back to WrestleMania just for a second here. Some of the other matches we really haven't brought up. The ladder match to start the thing was gangbusters. That shot that Dean Ambrose took from Luke Harper outside. I mean, pretty much it looked like it took him out the rest of the match at that point. Then he got powerbombed again the other night on, was it Raw or SmackDown? I can't remember. It was the Raw when they had the rematch. And I like seeing Luke Harper get over a little bit. I mean, that's what it's happening is, after John Cena says you're the most underrated wrestler, in the company, it's good that WWE does something with you post-WrestleMania, even though, he really made that ladder match something special because a big guy like that doing what he was doing is definitely fantastic,
I mean, just look back to the ladder match he had with Dolph Ziggler. There's just huge potential there for him.
Yeah, what do you think, Mr.
Yeah.
Ortiz?
No, I agree. I mean, I think we all know what Luke can do, flying and really wrestling every style. And I guess that was, now we're kind of used to him being in WWE and now being a former Intercontinental Champion and everything. But I know, at least myself sitting there watching, seeing him make his solo entrance to a gigantic football stadium for WrestleMania was still pretty cool. Another one of those moments where you just kind of sit back and are happy for somebody doing big things. And that was, I thought it was a good match, good way to start the show. Cena and Bryan having the mid-card titles at the same time is a little strange, but hopefully that just helps in the long run. That was WrestleMania, at least in my mind, it started out really well. It ended really well in the middle.
The middle kind of dragged.
Yeah,
I can't really, I know the RIT game was on at the same time, but I can't even really review the Undertaker Bray Wyatt match because I barely watched any of it.
Well, it wasn't that long. I wanted to bring that up at one point. Bray Wyatt, when he was practicing earlier that Sunday with a match, severely sprained his ankle. And so that kind of, and you could tell,
that maybe that was hampering him to the match. I mean, we were all looking for it because we'd read it that he had been carted out of the ring and taken back to the locker room. They put him in a soft cast until he actually came out to the Undertaker match. And then when he was doing, you know, that bit he does where he turns himself upside down?
The cram walk.
He was having problems. You could see he was having problems keeping that up while he was doing that, because he obviously had a serious, and that's why they kept him off TV after that too, because he was hurting. But I mean, it was nice to see Undertaker come out and actually look good. I mean, he did look good. I'm not going to take that away from him. He looked healthy. He looked, you know, strong.
He looked exponentially better than last year, and it probably doesn't help that he suffered a concussion within the first couple minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, and I was
a little easier to work with Bray Wyatt than to work with Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar's a little harder,
He's going to make you work a little bit more.
He's a heavy dude. You can't do stuff with him like you could do with someone like Bray Wyatt, you know? I mean, the Undertaker was kind of out of it for the last 6 minutes of that match, 2 years ago. But last year, I thought he did great. Especially when he was doing that upside down crab walk upside down and an Undertaker sat up.
Because
we all kind of expected that, but it was like it popped the crowd big time, San Francisco there.
Now, I think we have to talk about the pageantry a little. As much as it should be about wrestling, of course, WrestleMania, they always pull out all the stops. I'd like to make a nomination for best and worst entrance. Worst goes to Triple H.
Oh, my God, yes.
Which was the most awful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And number one,
so cheesy.
If this entrance would have only had a Vladimir Putin imposter riding a bear while swigging vodka, it did not get better than Rusev's entrance.
Oh, my gosh. Him on a tank? I mean, I was waiting to see where the nationality of that tank was, but it would never turn beyond sideways. Seriously. I think that might, you know, I don't think that was a Russian tank, but it may have been. I could be wrong.
I expected, for the hockey fans out there, I expected that it didn't take more than 5 minutes to see on Twitter somebody putting Sabres GM Tim Murray's face over Rusev's tank riding in, which was pretty funny. But no, I loved that entrance.
And while we're at it, Bray Wyatt coming down and bringing the scarecrows to life as he walked by him.
It would have been a whole hell of a lot better had they not been on the West Coast.
If it was dark. Because then the fireflies could have come out. And
time to complain about one other thing, though.
Okay.
Why, especially with a handshake afterwards, did Sting lose? That is so stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason why Sting should be losing unless they're setting up a rematch, and Sting ends up winning in the end, the big blow-off match.
Well,
but in this situation, if they're going to shake hands afterwards, that makes me think, okay, this is done between him and Triple H. Maybe Sting will do other stuff in the future. But there's no reason why Triple H had to win that match.
I'm going to be the cynical person that says this was all about ego.
I think it's all about
it. Was all about WWE beat WCW in the Monday Night Wars, so guess what? They were going to win that match, too.
It was 14 years ago. I don't care anymore. That was half my life ago.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And I agree. I think that's the same thing, too. It's like I was dumbfounded that he... And the worst thing is he shook hands with him right after he beat him in the head with a sledgehammer. It's like, oh, that's okay. You cheated, but we'll shake hands.
I mean, the cameos were fun in the match, even though they didn't really make sense.
We were waiting for X-Pac to come down with half of NWO, half of DX shirt on, because he could have claimed either group as his.
Well, and of course, all these guys were too sweeting each other the night before at the Hall of Fame and stuff. So it's to me, sometimes, like, that's tough because I really, really like the Hall of Fame. Doing it the night before Mania is a little bit kind of like we're stepping away from storylines and everything, and then the next night you're right back into them. And that's fine, whatever. Everybody knows this is a show. And I still appreciated the cameos. That was fun. But I just, I have no, there's not any part of me that could begin to comprehend why Triple H needed to win that match.
Ego.
That, to me, with everything, because we've talked fairly positively about Triple H and what he's done with NXT and growing this and growing that. And I think overall, he's doing good things for the company. But that, to me, was just ridiculous. That was stupid. That was unnecessary. And if you were going to do that, then don't shake hands afterwards.
Yeah, it was a pageantry. That match was a pageantry. You know, having all the old, bringing the old guys out and everything. And I mean, there was a joke that Kevin Nash, what did the joke that he said, he said it looked like he was in pain, and he was like, he's saying because Billy Gunn has a, you know, has better cardio than he does or whatever, you know, people are going, oh, Nash is hurting the side. Did he tear a quad trying to run down to the ring? You know,
he needs a knee replacement from just walking down the ramp.
I think that, and after we saw Monday night, if you watch Monday night and you watch the extras after Raw, you saw Sting come out completely in that red long coat and paint and everything, and he comes out and he's just talking about his future, and then Bo Dallas comes out and it turns into kind of an angle on the post-Raw interview. So I don't think Sting's done. I think he looked great in the match. I think he definitely can. I mean, he's 56. He can still go. I mean, you heard the fans. I mean, every time he wrestled in TNA, every time he wrestled in TNA, you'd hear, you know, you still have it. Well, that's what we heard at WrestleMania. They were saying, you still have it, and he does. He looks good. He can still do his Stinger splash. He can do, you know, all his signature moves. I think that he's not done. I think and apparently he and The Undertaker shared a locker room during WrestleMania, and then maybe they talked about coming, you know, together for next year's WrestleMania, have Sting and The Undertaker, which, you know, they were always theorizing about for the last 5 years, as it was anyways.
Why didn't you just do that? Why did Triple H have to get the match if Triple H wasn't willing to lose?
Could it be ego? I mean, does Triple H have that much pull to be able to change that in WrestleMania? You know, I mean,
I mean, do you really think Sting is sitting back there like, I really think you should win, Paul? I think, you know.
No, of course not. He's like, he probably is like, well, I'm getting an opportunity to make a lot of money. I'm getting an opportunity for my fans who are my fans from, you know, who've never seen me in the WWE to see me in the WWE. And you know, winning doesn't matter. Winning doesn't matter to a lot of the guys.
No, that's the thing is, like, to me, I don't really care about wins and losses as long as, when all is said and done, hours later the next day, I sometimes you can barely remember who won. You remember more of what happened, what moves happened, and everything. And to me, though, that's something where absolutely I remember who won. And I remember being kind of disappointed that it was still light outside in California during Sting's entrance and all of that. But in the end, if that had been a later match, an even later match on the pay-per-view, I would have been really upset.
Yeah.
Because I just hate the way that all finished. The match itself was fine.
Yeah.
You know, except for
he had the baseball bat that had the buzzsaw at the end of it that could take a sledgehammer and cut it in half.
Cut it clean in half.
There was some, you know, the gimmick stuff in that and everything. And I mean, I enjoyed it. It was nice to see Sting and Triple H work a match where either of those guys could have won at one point or another during the match. It was, you know, they both, you know, got their stuff in, as they say. And, you know, it was, but, you know, I am disappointed that Sting didn't win. I don't think he's done. I'm pretty sure it's up to WWE, but I have a feeling that I don't think he's done. I mean, you heard the fans. I mean, and he looked good. I mean, he looked good, you know, so.
And WWE has a big stadium to fill next year, so they're going to be pulling out all stops.
And that's why maybe it will be
from WrestleMania play button to WrestleMania star.
Yeah, that's right.
WrestleMania star.
WrestleMania 32 is going to be in Dallas. Was it called Cowboys Stadium?
WrestleMania 32.
We can't
put the numbers or the Roman numerals back in the logos, please.
I was waiting for someone to jump on the play button when it was on the entranceway, because it was sitting right in the ground as they were walking over it. You know,
well, that was clearly where everybody was supposed to stop and pose.
Yeah, true. And I will say one thing, too. I love the setup they had there. It did not, you know, the giant HD screen that pretty much encompassed the whole end of the end zone there. I think that was, you know what, it was good because it wasn't overdone. It wasn't like some of the other WrestleManias, like Orlando. I'm not going to say Orlando was overdone, but, man, that was, you know, with the... It was kind of crazy, or like New York City, the background of New York City when we were
hated New York.
Yeah, I think it was. I didn't dig that at all
because
you
it
don't
was
have
in
to
New
make
Jersey. That's not New Jersey. York. I'm so sick of that. Like, why you're not? You should be the New Jersey Jets and the New Jersey Giants, and that should have been WrestleMania NJ. Well, it should have had the number, but it shouldn't have been. That's not New York.
Sure. Hey, we gotta go to break. Still holding out hope for Booker T. I got to contact these people during commercials, but we got a call on the flip side. Our friend Jay-Z, we'll talk to him in just a minute. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
He, like so many others, came to America. He was given opportunity. He was given success. Was he thankful? Hell no. All he wanted to do was tell each and every one of you how much America sucks. Yeah, I know. I got a news flash. America doesn't suck.
Hey, I'm Edge from the WWE, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
Additional taunts
here.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, Richie Rich, here with DC Dan Cole, the artiste Rob Sanderson, and you. And thank you so much for listening. Give us a call. 222-1280, star 280 is the phone number as we wait for Booker T to call. And hopefully he does. And if not, you know, I'll tell you the book's good. And maybe we'll answer the questions I wrote for him. But, hey, a little Dean Ambrose music here. Hopefully Dean Ambrose gets some sort of benefit out of what happened to him at WrestleMania, that's for sure. Because, I mean, he loses on Monday night. He loses on WrestleMania, you know. He hasn't gone crazy yet. I could see it happening. I could see it happening. 222-1280, star 20 is the number. We've got our buddy Jay-Z, who's in the studio the last couple of weeks with us. Jay-Z, what's up, brother?
Hey, yo, I was hoping that Booker T would call while I was on hold so I could say I was bumped by the five-time WCW heavyweight champion. But anyway.
That's okay. You just
WrestleMania,
did.
If we're going to give WrestleMania a grade, I would give it a B-. It was much better than I expected, and I think lowered expectations help.
Lowered expectations?
Yeah. Going back to the Triple H win, it's all about the narrative at this point. WCW lost the Monday Night War, and no matter how long ago it was, it's all about the narrative that WWE won. And they could not have Sting win on that stage with that narrative. But I was hoping to see ECW represented at some point. You know? To have three ECW guys come out and just lay everybody out.
Well, listen to this.
The invasion all over again, but do it right this time.
There was every match in that card took place with a former NXT wrestler on it, except for one. So the NXT was rocked, that's for sure. I don't know about ECW, though.
I don't think they were, no. No, but I was hoping to see an ECW run in on that Triple H Sting match. Just lay everybody out. But
the neutral guys. The guys have neither side. Yeah, you know,
guys on either side, pretty much, they benefited and then suffered due to the Monday Night War, I think.
You could have the Blue World Order come out.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. Why are you ruining my day, Rich?
Sorry.
That would have been great. But I think it was overall a pretty good show. I think it would have been worse if Reigns had walked out with the belt, but I'm glad that.
You know, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, I want to talk about that later, but I truly feel bad for Reigns. I mean, you know, the thing is as much as nobody wanted to see that happen, you know, because of they hate knowing in advance. But, man, I'll tell you. Hello.
Yeah,
he got to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
He did. But
he didn't really deserve to be yet.
Well, and he'll be there again. He'll be there again. I don't think he's got a Lex Luger, you know, SIP star, whatever it's called, Sigma, stuck to him. He's not going to be the guy who couldn't make it. He's going to make it at some point. But he had like 20 to 40 family members there because Rikishi was
inducted.
Rikishi was inducted. And I read somewhere that some of them are upset about the finish. And I'm like, are 20 to 40 Samoans were equal to what, like 250 to 300 real people?
Yeah, they would go through the crowd killing everybody.
They would just headbutt everybody.
Yeah, and if Haku's in there, you definitely want to watch out.
He'd be biting noses off of people. No. Anyway, it was a good show. I'm sorry I couldn't be there today for you guys, but hey. You know, I'm listening and enjoying what you guys are talking about. So,
thank you for calling, Jay-Z. It's nice to talk to you. Good to get your opinions. I definitely like them. So take it easy, bro. We got Jordan from Naples. Jordan, what's up, brother?
What is going on, guys?
We're doing this radio show thing. What are you doing?
Yeah, you guys are really cool. Hey, I watched WrestleMania this past Sunday. It was a great WrestleMania. I really thought Roman Reigns was going to beat Brock Lesnar, but we never saw who won that match because Seth Rollins came down and cashed in the briefcase.
He did.
Which is really cool.
You know, I mean, that's where I was completely wrong. I said, this stuff never happens on WrestleMania. They always stick their plans. And I apologize. But you know what? I had to think about it. I was really upset because I won Roman Reigns just because I like when they stick to the plan. But you know what? After a few minutes after the show was over, it's like, man, that was good. You know, that's two WrestleManias in a row that have been fantastic to the end, you know?
Yeah, so, and I may be thinking a little crazy here, but I think Sting is going to go one-on-one with Undertaker next year. That's my thinking right now.
That's the rumor.
Just because, you know what I mean? Because Triple H beat Sting. I think that's done.
But doesn't Sting, that's the thing though, Sting needs to do something else in the meantime before that happens, or what, Sting becomes 0-2 in WWE? That can't happen. He's got to get a win somewhere.
And the Undertaker looked great. So, I mean, you guys were all mad because you said if Bray Wyatt loses, it's going to kill him.
I don't think we knew that was going to happen, too.
Well, we knew last year it was going to happen, too, but it didn't. So, I mean, I think all bets
were
off.
There was no way he was losing to Bray Wyatt.
I think all bets were off after last year, you know?
Oh, I was flipping out when Sting lost that match on Sunday. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, I thought they were going to have him win. That was my thinking.
Yeah,
there's no reason why if he's going to lose, then don't shake hands and do a rematch at SummerSlam.
What I'm guessing is if that was the one and only time he was going to be in WWE, I think that he would have won then. I think that they must have discussed it earlier.
But he's not going to beat Undertaker.
No, he's not.
Right?
You know, he definitely is not. But maybe there'll be a way where he can have a match
maybe
against
Triple H.
Maybe
that'll be like a double count out or something.
No, I don't.
Another thing about Brock Lesnar. I think he's going to face, and I heard this earlier this week, he's going to face Seth Rollins for the title at SummerSlam.
Okay, I'll take that. I mean, Seth Rollins is obviously going to get past Randy Orton in the next series, you know.
Right.
I'm not absolutely sure if I'm happy about that. Randy Orton looked great at WrestleMania. And, you know, poor Randy Orton, you know, it's like they give him a win and then they just take him back three steps every time after that.
Brock Lesnar, I mean, he was crazy on Monday, flipping out, throwing Michael Cole around.
Yeah, so that's why we're waiting for Booker T to call, because Booker T was like, maybe he got really hurt and he's in the hospital from that, you know?
Yeah, you know, I got told on WWE.com there was an update, and it just said that JBL had abdominal surgery done, and Michael Cole tore his shoulder muscle, I think.
They put a picture up of JBL in a hospital
from
bed.
From 4 years ago.
Was it?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, because that was a legitimate picture.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, unless they've got a whole hospital bed with everything.
Hey, Jordan, we got to go to break. We're going to be here for another hour, man. So just keep on listening. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, we're going to be on until noon. So thanks for listening, brother. And we'll talk to you on the flip side, bro.
Oh, sounds good, bro.
Okay. We gotta go to break right now. It's the first hours in the books. no pun there for Booker T, but hopefully we'll talk to him soon. I mean, I can understand the time being different. He's in from Houston. We're in Rochester. It's an hour difference. There's a 2 hours.
We have
hours?
To talk about his new book. Can you read that, sucker? Tell me he did not just say
that. He did not say that. So we're going to break. We got another hour of pro wrestling talk. Please, if you haven't called yet, give us a call. Send us a text.
Tweet at pain_clinic. You can tweet us what your letter grade is for WrestleMania.
Someone liked when I played Slayer going to break, so I like that. That was from the WCW album. We got to go to break. We got news, and then we'll be back on the flip side. You listen to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the second hour of the Pain Clinic, brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer Soup Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. You know what I forgot in the first hour? Birthdays today. I did not do a birthday. You know what birthday is today?
Okay, let's hear it.
There's a couple of birthdays today. One of them is Iron Man Robert Downey Jr. He's 50 today. I know it has nothing to do with wrestling, but I like Robert. I like freaking Iron Man. But Grumpy Cat is 3 today.
Really, Cash? you could have let that one go.
Grumpy Cat's 3. Rob, you like Grumpy Cat, right?
I would love to meet Grumpy Cat. I'm more of a fan of Grumpy Cat than that
printer in the hallway.
What about Natalia, the whole grumpy cat agent with Natalia and her husband thing on Diva Search?
Ridiculous.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man, Richie Rich. I'm here with the artiste, Rob Sanderson, and DC Dan Call. Thank you so much for listening. We got actually a couple people online right now. I don't want to keep them holding. Hopefully Booker T works out this hour. Maybe it will, because it's an hour difference, so it might be the time he thinks he's calling now. So that'll probably be in about 15 minutes, so hopefully. But we've got started off Scott from Henrietta. Scott.
Hi, guys.
Appreciate your call every week, Scott. What do you think of WrestleMania 31?
I'll be honest. I gave it a B+, and the only reason I didn't give it an A was because the venue, I think, ruined it. I think being outside ruined it because they wanted... You could tell from the entire segment with Triple H and The Rock and Rousey and McMahon, they were stalling as much as possible trying to get the sun to go down.
Yeah, and it really, even at the end of the night, it wasn't down still, you know? I mean, even at the end of the show.
Well, that was cool, but I feel like Seth Rollins winning, like the reaction, you could tell people were going nuts. But if that had been indoors and the noise hadn't disappeared, I think it would have been really, really cool.
I thought the ending was absolutely brilliant. And I really did. I mean, nobody looked bad from that ending. Brock Lesnar came out and did what Brock Lesnar does. He came in, he beat the crap out of Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was trying to play the tough guy and, you know, I will overcome and all that. And then Rollins just showed that incredible opportunist that he's been since the Shield broke up and just, you know, stole the show. It was one of those few times I can remember at a WrestleMania being on my feet. Like, when the music hit, I got on my feet. I was like, oh, please don't tell me they're going to be the smart.
Everybody was in the bar, got on their feet at that point, too.
I high-fived somebody. I high-fived change.
That's right.
Seth Rollins made the pin. Mm-hmm. We were high-fiving. When's the last time we had a moment like that?
It doesn't happen often, that's for sure. Daniel Bryan might be winning last year. But, yeah, that was you know what? And I love being wrong because, like I said, I felt bad for Roman Reigns because they had built this whole thing up since last year for him to do it, and then they just changed their plan, you know, and that's the way it goes.
Now, I will say the other interesting part that you guys talked about last hour was AJ. Did you see the pictures from Bayley on Instagram?
Yeah, she's rubbing her tummy, and she says, you know, they're going to, what did she say again? What was the quote?
We're expecting
a win from Paige.
AJ and Paige to win.
Yeah.
And it was just odd, so... You know, apparently, well, my buddy called me this morning. He's like, oh, dude, I watched it last night after I saw the tweet. Apparently, she took absolutely no shots at all to the stomach.
Yeah, if you look at the match, actually, she barely was in the match the whole match.
Bump?
The only thing she kept getting pulled off the edge of the ring by the Bellas, and she never really got in the match much.
Mm. She kept getting knocked down, and they kept saying, oh, she went into the rail, but you never actually saw it. All you saw was her feet hit the floor. So I really got to wonder, because... The rumors had always been flying that she wanted kids.
Sure.
So, I mean, good luck to her, really. She had a great career. She did it her way. She went out on her terms. She didn't get bumped. She didn't get fired. She didn't get liquidated because, you know, her husband decided to set the world on fire with an interview.
Yeah, and you know the thing, too, is if that's the case, and her husband even thanked her on his Twitter last night. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I hope that's the truth. I mean, that's a really, truly good reason. You know, if it's not, then, you know, how can you just leave a job, you know? So I think I have a feeling that there's more truth to that than anything else. Especially the look in the pictures of the two women when they're, you know, she's like holding her stomach and stuff like that.
She looks genuinely over the moon happy. So you just gotta think that it didn't even look contrived or fake, you know, like Triple H's entrance.
the Terminator. you know what's funny is I heard that they didn't even have the audio for Arnold Schwarzenegger for that entrance until the night before at the Hall of Fame ceremonies. They pulled him in a back room and recorded it, and they were like trying all the get-go to get him to find time to do it, and he just didn't have time. And so it was like down to the last minute when they brought that audio into the stadium to you know, the video where him talking. It was just, you know, it was very, I guess, very stress-inducing for the production crew of WWE because of Arnold's lack of time.
It might have been better if it was darker, and it might have been better if we didn't actually see the production guys give him the skulls. Like, he traded out, he got the arms pulled off, and they were giving the skulls on camera, and I was like, oh, my God, that's so cheesy.
Yeah, I thought the skull on his face didn't look that great either, you know? I mean,
everybody's wrong twice in their lives. Triple H just used up one of them.
There's only one? I thought he'd be up to about five or six now, maybe.
I got to give him credit because he's doing so well with NXT. Come on, guys.
I mean, we got to give him something. If it was enough that he made Vince McMahon a fan in one night, you really got to wonder what he's doing down there. And if it's it is a positive sign for the future.
I'm just wondering if there's a limit to the goodwill we will give Triple H.
Yeah, I that's enough. Like, no more
you
nice
know,
things.
NXT being awesome is only going to get him so far.
Sure. And
we should talk to Dr. Tom or one of these people about their thoughts on NXT.
We ought to. You know, we'll ask Dr. Tom because, I mean, he's definitely had his opinion when huge erection got fired there, I'll give him credit for that. We'll say that. But you know what? That's something that had to be done for this company. You know, I mean, it really did. There was no feeders anymore, not the kind of feeders that they wanted, you know?
No, they've always, I mean, for years on end, they've had problem bringing in new guys. It's always been a problem there. It doesn't seem to be a problem there. It seems to be a genuine development group now where they're bringing in people who are already established. They already have fans that are going to cheer for them when they're there. So it is. It's a good thing. It's good for the future.
Without a doubt. And, yeah, but that was, you know, I mean, gosh, that, you know, I think his entrance took longer than that match. You think about it. It was a long time setting that up.
What bothered me was that The Rock's entrance took longer than the women's match.
Yeah.
If you actually break it down, it took longer for The Rock to get to the ring because he kept posing on the stage.
And he kept jogging back and forth. Yeah, he kept jogging from side to side.
And it was kind of like, wait, and, you know, my wife is a huge Divas wrestling fan, and she's like, wait a minute, this is longer than the Divas match. And I'm like, well, it fits with what they're doing.
True.
Because, yeah, but unfortunately, my Bray Wyatt prediction was wrong, and I don't care what you guys say. He's going to eventually become the new Dark Side. It's just going to happen. It has to happen sooner or later. Otherwise, they've wasted him completely.
Yeah. Well, remember, I said if you were right, you could come up here and co-host the show with us. So.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's
okay. That in a little more.
That's okay. No, I'd love for you to come up anyways. You're a pretty smart fan on this stuff. But it was definitely, you know, yeah, that you know, I mean, I didn't think that was any big surprise. Especially what was surprising is Undertaker looked good. So, you know,
after
what we saw last year. And I'm not going to say he looked bad. It's just last year he got knocked out and he just looked like he was sleepwalking through the match, you know?
He looked good. You know, it's a little scary sometimes to see him do things because, granted, you don't see the bad things. You hear more of the bad things. You hear all these rumors that his knees are gone, that, you know, he's having problems. You get a little scared when you see these matches because, yes, he is, you know, he is a legend. He is one of the best performers of all time, but, God, he's just getting old. And even Flair knew it was time to go.
And, you know, if Flair knows it's time to go, then
until he needs another paycheck.
Yeah, you know, until Flaherty's on a paycheck, and then, you know, as long as you keep him away from the alcohol table at catering, he'll be fine.
Well, I think he went through rehab, so that's okay.
But why, I mean, going back to the Divas match, why did, I wanted Paige to get a singles match for the championship. AJ did, like, I guess you wanted to give her a farewell? But couldn't and I guess it had to be a tag match so AJ wouldn't have to bump or anything. But I kind of just wish in the end that it would have been a singles match.
I kept hoping for some reason or that at least an NXT girl would run down. I would think that, you know, when she went down originally, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is she hurt? And is one of the girls from NXT going to run down and take her place? Are they going to do that? Like, because when they did it with the Usos, they were smart. We knew Jay was hurt. He wasn't going to be able to really perform in the match, so they took care of him early and got him out of the match. But when she went down, I was like, okay, maybe here comes Charlotte. Maybe here comes, you know, somebody from NXT. And then when it was over, I was just kind of like, well, it was better than any of the Divas matches we've seen in years, but it was just kind of there. It was a filler match, and that's really sad. It was a filler match, and I think it could have been more.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what, Scott? Thanks so much for calling, brother. Anything else? Any quickies? Last things?
I will miss seeing AJ's abs every week.
Okay. Well, I think we'll end on that one because did you say abs? Is that what you said? Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Thank you so much for calling, Scott. Please call again next week. We got the lines are loaded. 222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. We got Troy from Rochester. Troy, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing good. What did you think of WrestleMania 31?
Oh, it was excellent. I loved the whole show, even the pre-show. The pre-show was excellent. The whole weekend was excellent. Actually, starting with the holiday.
The first hour was a lot of talk. I didn't need that. The second hour, two matches. I love that. So yes, technically it was 5 hours of wrestling,
yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but you know, in Super Bowl, you know, they had a pregame show, so that's what it basically was for the first hour of WrestleMania pre-show, you know. So the talk and stuff like that, which they usually do anyway, but you know, it'd be much shorter. But then the second hour, like you said, the two matches, you know, that was overall it was an excellent pay-per-view to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, it was. You know what? The way it ended, beautiful. I mean, you know, I'm probably going to be one descending vote here, but I didn't really like the Rock segment. I really.
Oh, I love that.
I you know what? I like Ronda Rousey. When the microphone's live in front of her, she kind of gets shy, and you could barely hear what she was saying. Uh-huh. You know, she's kind of mumbling the four lines they gave her. But besides that, I just didn't like how long it took to get to the.
I could watch that over and over again.
It took. Listen, I would fall asleep if I watched that again. It took way too long to get to that point. You know,
well, and I think
the way Triple H and Stephanie was just taking talking and all of that, and then all of a sudden, here comes the Rock. That was an excellent segment, man. How could you not like that?
It was okay to me, but I didn't like how long it went, and I also didn't like how you built up to Ronda hitting Triple H, and that's ultimately your big moment But then afterwards, it goes to Ronda like kind of doing whatever she did to Stephanie, which was super weak.
Yeah, jacking her left shoulder.
And that just killed the whole thing to me. Like, don't even put your hands on Stephanie if that's all you're going to do or all she's going to let you do to her. Because that killed the whole thing for me.
Yeah, what it started out as Triple H and Stephanie gloating, you know, just gloating for like a few minutes. Biggest attendance ever. You're making the 49ers look bad that they can't squeeze a few more people in those games. You know, but then again, they can't sit them on the field either. So, but they were just going on and on. I said, okay, this is the time where Rock's showing up. There's been rumors Rock's going to be there. People have seen him in the airport. So then he finally comes out, and it takes him 10 minutes to get to the ring. And then they proceed to argue with each other. And then he goes over to Ronda Rousey, who they showed earlier on the pay-per-view. If they could have saved that, maybe that would have been more of a surprise. But they did show her earlier out there, which kills me. But hold on, one thing that kills me, too, and I got to throw this out, and I've been meaning to say this. On WWE.com, they went and they have a series of pictures of the celebrities who were at WrestleMania, and every single one of the pictures were people who were working it, who worked for the WWE during it, you know, like Maria Menounos or whatever her name is, you know. How do you say that again?
Maria Menounos?
Yeah, whatever her name is. Yeah, she was working it. She was in the backstage area interviewing people and stuff.
I do have to give Ronda Rousey bonus points, though, being a nerd myself. I was a huge fan of her Dragon Ball Z t-shirt.
Dragon Ball Z, which I was trying to figure out what that
nerds.
Was.
Yeah.
Nerds! Jocks hate nerds.
And you know, one thing I was surprised about being a 49er fan, I was expecting maybe to see some prominent players in the crowd or something?
No.
Maybe Kaepernick's in ringside?
Go to WWE.com and look at their pictures. They're terrible. They're just all the people who worked for them. You know, it's like the Skylar Grey. Well, yes, we know you were there because you were on stage singing, you know, and, you know, all this stuff. It was, I just...
For something on the West Coast, yeah, not a lot of star power.
Definitely not, you know. I was really surprised at that.
But you know, they had the way they had to work that angle with her not really doing nothing to Stephanie because she's still under contract with UFC, so... Yeah, that's all they really was.
But you know what? If you're under contract with WWE and you go to a boxing match and they bring you up in the ring and do something with you, Vince McMahon's going to fire you immediately, you know. Or if you go to, like, I mean, the UFC, they always flash to the people in the crowd, but they never do anything. They never bring him in the octagon to interview him. They brought her out of the crowd into the ring, and then she, you know, flipped Triple H over and put Stephanie in some sort of shoulder jacking type thing, you know. I wish you would have actually taken her down and done the arm bar. Then we would have seen Stephanie tap in about 2 seconds. But, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know. I just thought that segment just went on and on. And it was great, yes, when The Rock went out and picked her out of the crowd. Like I said, if they'd never showed her earlier, it would have been so much cooler because it would have been, oh, she's in the crowd, you know. And but she's been there every time they're around town, she's there. She's like, you know, backstage getting pictures with everybody and stuff. So she's a huge fan. I mean, you know, and she probably has a history, probably has a future in the WWE if she wants it.
I was going to say, yeah, it's pretty obvious that her competition seems pretty limited in UFC.
Yeah, she doesn't lose to anybody unless, and she doesn't, and it never goes more than a minute, so most of the time, so.
But what about, another reason why I love the segment, because what about SummerSlam, mixed tag team match,
yeah,
Rock and Ronda versus Stephanie and Triple H?
You know what, Ronda's the only. They said the next time that she'll be available is next time they come to California, and that won't be until Hell in the Cell in October.
Even if you want to toss around the idea of that match, it's too big for anything other than a WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can't. Ronda really can't do it. I'm sure she's under contract. I know she's under contract, and I know that she had to okay it through the boss there at UFC. They put her in. They say that there's no crossover between these two crowds. I say, nay, there is. I mean, obviously, when she said, people know who she is in the WWE show. So, but WWE is always convincing, no, they're not our competition. Yeah, sure they're not. Sure they're
but
not.
You know what, guys? I hate to say it, but the Raw sucked. I mean, I actually was so disappointed by Raw Monday that I don't even know what happened at the end. I turned it off.
Nope.
Yeah, you know what?
It's not a good way. I mean, I liked Neville appearing, but other than that, nothing really.
Yeah.
At least he didn't come out as Mighty Mouse, too. I was so worried about
that. Why do you have to keep dropping the first names?
Yeah,
too?
I know. Yeah,
let's mention that.
Cesaro,
really?
Neville.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe after a great WrestleMania, they had a terrible Raw. I knew it was going to happen. I was hoping it didn't happen.
No, I agree with you, sir.
But at least they did manage to break the curse of the odd number WrestleManias being entirely underwhelming.
We've had two back-to-back good ones, so we can only hope for the third one next year when who knows what's going to happen. Obviously, Brock Lesnar's under contract for 3 more years. Hey, thank you so much for calling, Troy, man. We got to go to break, okay?
Okay, thank you, guys.
Take it easy, brother. I definitely appreciate your input. You know, I was going to say, usually Troy is, like, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid from WWE, and actually he critiqued them and said that he didn't think Monday Night Raw was at all good. So I was really shocked. Very good. Not having Vince think for you. Thank you so much. We got to go to break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports. 222-1280, Star Toys number. We're on Fox Sports 1280.
My client took his hand, put them on the number one challenger for the world title and did nothing but suplex, 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 suplex him right through the canvas. Or, as my client Brock Lesnar said, suplex.
I remember for weeks playing all of you standing in that ring right now like a fiddle until I got my sweet revenge. And I remember almost ripping your head off with an RKO at WrestleMania right before you cashed in that precious contract.
Stepped in that ring, I got knocked down, but I picked myself up every single time.
I mean, your Daniel Bryans and your Ziggler's, I mean, they're great little fellas, real hard workers, go-getters. But let's be honest, they make Kevin Hart look like Shaquille O'Neal. They're two vertically challenged runts.
Oh, hey, folks, this is Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Tough guy.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man, Richie Rich, here. The Artiste, Rob Sanderson, and DC Dan Cole, and you. Thank you so much for listening. Give us a call. 222-1280, star 1280 is the phone number. Okay. We got a couple calls on the line right now. We got Steve in Bristol. Steve, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing okay. You didn't come out to WrestleMania this year, brother.
No, I didn't. We were watching it. By the call that was with me there a year ago. He's got the WWE Network.
No, well, you saw it still. What do you think?
Well, we didn't. He had to get up. Poor John had to get up and get his beauty rest to go to work at 6 in the morning, so I missed the last match. But I was wondering where you saw Sting in the... I was surprised Triple H won, and because everybody was kind of picking Sting. Now, do you see a feud going there between those two, or is that pretty much over? And what future would Sting have in the WWE now, do you think?
I don't know. We talked about it last hour quite a bit.
Oh, I missed it. That's okay.
We'll do a briefly recap.
Sting, feud's done. They shook hands. It's gotta be done.
Feud's done. They shook hands. Most likely, if Sting's going to do anything, it might be Undertaker next year. Unless they can work him into, like, somehow knocking the authority out of power of the WWE. If they ever get down to this actual struggle with the authority versus, and it'd have to probably be Vince McMahon who would have to bring him back and say, you know, there's my champion against your champion, and winner gets to run the WWE. I don't know if they're going to do that. Vince seems to have taken a big step backwards from the company, you know, at least appearing on TV. He still sits in the gorilla position every show, screaming into people's headphones and whatnot. But, I don't know. I mean, right now it's up in there. Sting is more than willing to do it, though. That's what I heard. He's more than willing to come back. So, you know.
Well, do you, do you think John Cena is going to beat Rusev in the Fastlane or whatever that is? And
you mean Extreme Rules? He lost to him at Fastlane, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was two pay-per-views ago. And, yes, he beat him at WrestleMania. Most likely it's going to end their feud. It'll be the blow-off match, and then John Cena will go on to other things. He's trying to elevate that title. Mentioned that earlier, trying to make it a more prominent title. I mean, that's what he was. If you saw this past Monday or past Thursday, he threw out the thing saying, "I'll take any B-plus player. I'll take on I'll take on anybody in the back room who wants to take me on for this title." So he's throwing an open challenge, and that's what he's going to be doing on TV for quite a while, is taking open challenges every week, I guess.
Can I tell you how disappointed I was with the reveal of who answered the open challenge? As soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, let's get an NXT guy.
Yeah, they could do
it. Like, imagine doing an open challenge and Finn Balor comes out or something like that.
Sure.
Not that I don't like Dean Ambrose, but my hopes were just dashed when he came out.
And he'll be doing this every week for a while, but he will be wrestling Rusev, too. Hopefully, you know, the thing is that whole build-up to Rusev and John Cena really didn't lead to a lot of physicality of either, you know, from John Cena in the ring. So maybe he was, you know, hiding an injury or something for the last month or so, but now he seems to be back and ready to go, so...
Do you see Luke Harper is getting a push to be the WWE champion anytime soon?
I wish. You know, he's still only a year single wrestler. He's only really a year into it still. So, I mean, when John Cena comes out and says you're the most underrated guy in the locker room, yes, there's people on his side. It just takes a while. We have to learn who the real Luke Harper is. We got to get more promos from him and more in-depth thoughts.
What about Jeff Ambrose? Dean Ambrose, excuse me.
I feel bad for Dean. I think Dean lost his way up to WrestleMania. It seems like every week he was losing. So.
Has he won a pay-per-view yet?
You know what? It's been a while.
Since he's been on his own?
It's been a while. So, I don't know. Dean Ambrose is Roddy Piper in a modern day, and he doesn't need a title, and he just needs to be crazy, and he needs a guy who can just make him be that crazy. So we're going to see where that goes. I mean, I thought Seth Rollins would be a great matchup for him right now. Maybe he will be in a couple pay-per-views, but not right now.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Great show as usual, Rich.
Hey, take it easy, Scott. I mean, Steve, sorry. You take it easy, and thank you so much for the kind words. We got
Jeff Ambrose.
Jeff Ambrose. We got Jeff Dave, from Henrietta.
Steve Dave.
What's up, Steve Dave?
Hi, Rick, and what's your name? Darren over there?
Yeah, Ricky and...
tell him, Steve Cole.
What's up, buddy?
I give WrestleMania probably a B. The Rock segment went too long, but then ultimately, I mean, there was kind of a payoff. The fact that, I mean, like, why are you bringing the crowd down by, we're having a good pay-per-view so far, but why are you bringing the crowd down? But then Rock comes out, so it made it somewhat better, but yeah, I mean, it was just, they were just killing time and stuff like that, and like.
Well, I mean, that because of that segment, we lost out on the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
Or the tag team title match, which is probably better. I haven't seen that match yet, but the Battle Royals, starting everybody in the ring is just...
Yeah, it's incredibly confusing. We watched them. Actually, we watched both of those.
Everybody shoulder to shoulder just punching each other.
The tag team match was great.
The tag team match was great, man. It was nice. You know, and they actually really hid the Usos' injury during it. So, I mean, explained it, sort of. But, that whole 32-minute Rock segment, I don't know if it went that long, but it felt like it went 32 minutes. That killed the whole match off the pay-per-view, so.
See, that was a bathroom break.
Well, we also knew that there was some stuff we didn't know was going on, and that's obviously the piece that did bump the matches. Because it's like seven matches on a four-hour show, that doesn't make sense, you know, and now it does, so.
Hey, do you think the former Funkadactyl getting the win over Natty, was it like on SmackDown or something like that? Do you think that they're going to push her next, or if they, before they bring anybody up from
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they gave her a win last night in front of, and she challenged Nikki Bella, and they actually letting her come out to the old Brutus Broadus Clay music too. So she's still using that, but I mean, it was pretty evident. I don't know. I mean, they have to use her. She's not a bad wrestler. I mean, Naomi, what's her real name? I can't remember.
Trinity.
She's a great wrestler. So I mean, you know what? Go out there and, you know, I mean, maybe she'll just be, enhancement talent to Nikki Bella. I don't know. But, I mean, she obviously can wrestle. She's going to wrestle better than most any of those other girls who are on the Diva TV show. So,
right. And, by the way, 2 + 2 = 4. Luke Harper is the most underrated person in the WWE. And John Cena is offering open challenges to everybody.
That makes sense.
I think he comes out and challenges Cena for the U.S. title.
He could be the next guy. I think John Cena is going to beat whoever comes out every time, but I think that, you know, you're going to get to see people like Axelmania coming out.
Right, but I think the payoff will be, I think Luke Harper holds the U.S. strap more.
I would not mind that, but I think John's going to hold it for a while. It's going to be a few pay-per-views before he drops it.
I mean, but it wouldn't be, down the road, it wouldn't be surprising to see Cena drop it to him, considering that's one of the guys Cena is really high on the roster.
Right, and you figure if he's got the pull to say who he wants to elevate and who he wants to drop the title to, one of them should be Luke Harper.
I don't know if he has that much pull. I think someone wants to make the title more prevalent, but it's not, I don't think it's John Cena. I think they're using John Cena to do it, but I think it's some creative head someplace else that really has a say over what's going on in that whole angle, so.
As long as the spinner doesn't come back, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's what I was fearing, because that's where it first showed up is when he won the U.S. title.
I actually, as disgusted as I kind of was, I breathed a sigh of relief when I saw his championship t-shirt had the regular U.S. title belt on it, so I'm like, oh. Maybe they won't bring it back. Although then it would just be another excuse for kids to buy more stuff.
Sure.
Right. And, I like the NXT people coming up. The question has to remain, like, how come they can't do this on the main roster when they're going to... I mean, if you're going to bring these people up, it's supposed to enhance the main roster, but they're still doing mistakes on the main roster that apparently they're not doing in NXT, so... I mean, you may bring these, you might have a wealth of talent down at NXT, but if you do the same mistakes that you bury their characters with when you bring them up, then it's not really going to mean much in the long run.
Well, I mean, hopefully they go through and they bring new guys up. There's plenty of, this is the reset button now. There's plenty of opportunity to bring new people up, start new feuds. Sami Zayn,
speaking of reset, it's a hang up button too. Go ahead. Sami Zayn's back. He is.
Sami Zayn, Charlotte, all these people. It's time to bring them up. Thanks for the call, Dave. I just think it's, it's time to do more than just bring up Neville.
Yeah.
And Raw was not good. Now you got to respond well on Monday and get people's interest going. A lot of people care about Mania, but then you give them that Raw afterwards and like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'll tune back in when it's
well,
exciting.
Well, they always expect it's the foreign fans at the show, and it's usually the best Raw of the year. And it even drew, you see the ratings numbers, it drew a whole hell of a lot more people than it usually does.
Well, because everybody's used to the Raw after WrestleMania being better than WrestleMania itself.
Yes.
And they totally just slept on it this year.
Yeah, well, I think Bray had more of an important part on the Raw, and they just couldn't get him out there, too. I think that was missed. But there was too many recaps for my liking. We got Buddy Buddy Brian. What's up, Buddy Buddy?
Hi, guys. I thought WrestleMania, I give that a B. I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. But the night after Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania, excuse me, when I saw what Brock Lesnar did, I just could not believe that he would go after Michael Cole, knock over the broadcast table, and then go after a camera guy. But, things like that, they should not be tolerated. And I think he's going to be gone for a while more because of that suspension in him. Remember, he is there fine. Now, my question is, why didn't Paul Heyman step in and stop him?
He tried to. He tried. I mean, he was saying, Brock, stop it in all of that. Now, I guess what I wonder in all of this is Brock is gone, but he's not the champion. Do we still get Paul Heyman appearances, like promoting somebody who's not the champion, or does Paul take time off? Because that's not good.
I heard Heyman's going to be off as well, which I think is a damn shame.
What would he be doing now?
Right.
There's no need for him to be around promoting Brock. I mean, that's just kind of... I don't know. Thanks for the call, Brian. I think it's just kind of, why would you have Paul
Heyman come out? He's not promoting the champion. He's not. Does he need somebody else at this point? Is this the point where you need another Paul Heyman guy?
Absolutely. They need to give Paul Heyman is too valuable a commodity to just let him sit around while Brock is away.
Because how long is do we have? I mean, we probably have no way of truly knowing this, but how long do we expect Brock is gone? Is it really till SummerSlam?
That's what we've been hearing. Well, I mean, we're going to find out Monday. Stephanie McMahon's going to come out and say how long the suspension is and how long. Because Heyman came out on SmackDown and said, we're going to sue to get back out here. You know, or maybe do that on Raw.
You know, like, and I'm fine with them doing something that's going to cause a suspension to get Brock to find a way to explain why he's disappearing. That's fine. I just still don't like that Seth Rollins had to run away like a baby. That you had to make him do that. That to me, I've been waiting for the Seth Rollins era to start. I'm happy about it. Let's see what he can do. I mean, you're trying to build new stars, and now we're past WrestleMania, so all the part timers can go back on vacation.
You know what I'm guessing? I'm guessing they think that Seth Rollins would never be a competition for Brock Lesnar in a 1-on-1. So now they got rid of Brock Lesnar, they can let Seth come out and do that. He won't have to worry about Brock Lesnar. People thinking of Brock Lesnar, besides the fact that he's statuesque and gigantic compared next to him, but now they allow him to, you know, go out and be the heel, the dominant heel, like he should be, without having a guy like that sitting behind him.
Well, the way they've built Lesnar, nobody can stand next to him.
No, and that's the only way they can win is do what happened. So, you know, all right, we gotta go to break. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I inserted myself into the main event. I beat Roman Reigns. I beat Brock Lesnar. And I became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Bring me your future stars. Bring me your have-nots. Bring me anybody the authority says is a B-plus player. Bring me anybody you want to see, but they won't let you. Hell, bring me anybody from Brock Lesnar to Bushwhackers, and I will not run. I will fight them all.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. That ended quite shortly.
Just getting into it.
I know, that's Paige's theme. Nice. I got some other music here that I'm going to be using, different music. But thank you so much for listening to the show. I'm the Cash Man, Richie Rich. I'm here with DC Dan Cole, the artist Rob Sanderson, and you. And thank you so much. Give us a call. What do you think about Mania Hall of Fame ceremony? Lots of stuff going on. I'm going to get some news out here real quick. Vince McMahon came out this past week and said that the WWE Network has surpassed 1.3 million subscribers. This is the post-WrestleMania 31 conference. Vince credited WrestleMania 31 with helping boost the subscriber count. 1.3 million. If every time that, you know, that's a lot of people, but I don't know if it's a significant increase over about a year ago, which was like almost a million subscribers a year ago. Now it's only 1.3 million. So, I mean, the people on the stock exchange did not think that was a significant number, and WWE stock dropped heavily that day. What do you think? I mean, Vince McMahon came out and said 1.3 million subscribers. I mean, it's a good number, but, you know, still, I think that the profitability is like, what, 2 million, I think it was?
That's good. And especially around this time of year, doing the basic math, yeah, sure, 1.3 million subscribers sounds nice. But how nice to investors did 1 million WrestleMania buys used to sound? At 70 bucks a
pop. That was their target, I believe, yeah. You know?
I've had the network since the opening day, and right now, aside from NXT, I'm starting to debate, especially because we go and we watch pay-per-views at the garage door, like I'm starting to debate whether I really need it or not, because there's been no new content recently, and they still haven't uploaded. I'll say this again, like the Nitro's past 96 or more old Monday Night Raws. I personally want WWF Superstars from like 94 on there. It's probably what I would prefer more than anything, or some old Live Wires, whatever, just some of that old fun like mid 90s stuff that I grew up on. But like, it just seems like it's like, oh, pay $9.99 a month, but we gave you all of the stuff every week early, and now we just like we stopped doing it. Like, I don't know if they let people go or these people are just hanging out in their office now that we're making all these sweet shows.
Well,
before
you saw the montage of new programming that they're debuting this year coming up, right? The Tough Enough, that they're going to be doing that apparently Steve Austin's not involved in. They're making a cartoon like South Park, they said, that was going to be a WWE.
Did they say TVMA rated?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be an R-rated.
Okay, I missed this. When was this?
It was on during the WrestleMania pre-show. They ran it on Raw again too the next night. What else was there? Oh, all the Diva Searches are going to be. They're all going to be on there, as well as all the old Tough Enoughs are being added to it too. They said.
Got the one on there right now. They've got the first one already up.
Yeah, they said.
But that's not like. Give me something like the Monday Night War was awesome, and some of the like rivalry things they've done. There were a lot of really cool things that they put up there that were, you know, new content. I mean, whatever, old matches, but new production, and that to me is just. It feels to me like they've gotten lazy with it, like. Now it's just like, okay, well, everything's there. Just go keep paying for this. And it's like, I don't need to anymore.
I mean, wasn't it at least like a slogan or a promise at one point, you know, every Raw, every SmackDown, they own all this stuff. Let's get going.
Remember, right.
they just stalled on all of that.
Remember, they also re-signed with USA after the network debuted, I believe. And they were saying that part of the deal was going to be when the contract ran out that they were going to be able to put Raw up on their network as well as USA. Obviously, that wasn't negotiated correctly because it hasn't happened yet. I mean, they aren't. When's the latest Raw you can see? Back in December now that they have up on there? I mean,
They have to wait, what, 3 weeks? Raw that airs can go up on the network.
Is it that long? So, because I mean, Hulu, it's on the next day, right?
Yeah, the 90-minute version is the next day. Yeah,
yeah. I think Hulu is also. I mean, Hulu has a contract with them too.
I said that, I don't know why I subscribe to Hulu, but yeah, no. I mean, I'm going to keep subscribing to the network for NXT more than anything. But I would just, you know, I'd appreciate some more stuff. You have a lot more. You have many more tapes in that video library. Let's start encoding some of those. Let's start putting some of those up.
And I think they have. I just think they're trickling them in because there's a lot of early pay-per-view. I mean, there's a lot of early stuff that they
still... Pay-per-views are all there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But Nitro stops after 96. There's a couple years worth of old Raws. Not even. There's like, you know, maybe a 5 per year or something put up from some of the, like the mid-90s years, late 90s stuff. Like there's so much Attitude Era stuff that I would love to see again. Or maybe, you know, make it almost, you know, make a little category for old Raws and almost like was it Simpsons Now on the...
Oh, yeah,
the
FX apps, yeah.
Well, the FX Now app, I can go in and just press a button and it just plays a random Simpsons episode from all time. Like, give me something like that. I'll just put on some old Raw in the background while I'm doing some work or something. Like, that's fine. But I don't know. It's kind of gotten stale to me.
Well, I mean, and that's why they ran that big thing, is people who are thinking maybe it's getting stale. They got a whole bunch of new stuff coming out. And they actually have some other, you know, I mean, apparently
bringing back old Diva Searches is not going to help anything.
No, you're probably right there. I mean, that may not be the answer. But I think that they were doing a lot of, I heard there was a lot of camera crews following people around during WrestleMania. And I mean, did you see the Daniel Bryan build up the documentary they did on him?
That was great.
They've done like that with three people this year. So they're going to have three different guys. And I think that, you know, stuff like that's a lot of fun. You get to see like the behind the scenes stuff, what's going on. But there's a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, what they should do is, remember, what's that old talk show they used to do on was it USA?
No. Tuesday Night Titans. Yeah,
no, the one that Trish used to host, remember?
Livewire was like Pat and Gill and Marissa Mazzola.
No, what was the one where they did it at night and Coach and Trish were the host?
Was that Access?
It was Access. Yeah, they've got probably all those in the can too. You know, I mean, they did that. Remember they used to have those. They used to have those shoot stuff where they'd have the guys, you know, day in the life of these people, and they'd show them like what they do.
Going around their house, like house tours.
Yeah,
like
we got to see Trish's collection of the WWE action figures.
That is true.
Yeah.
I personally
take us inside all the big tour buses.
So my vote. Let's get Livewire. Let's get Shotgun Saturday Night. Let's get the old Metal Jacked. All of those shows, Velocity,
and one house show.
I love watching that.
And one house show a week.
What about the first and only season of the XFL? Could we get that on the network?
I don't know. That's not wrestling.
WWE product.
But I would certainly tune in for like at least 5 minutes of an old broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, because the first 10 minutes.
Just remember what it was like.
Jim Ross and Jesse the Body Ventura doing the hosting the pregame
camera
show.
Inside the cheerleaders locker room.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that wasn't. But you know the thing is there's a lot of material they still do have out there that they can put on, and it's like I still think they should do a house show one day a week. you know, just grab, you know, like just say Friday night house show, and they should do like, you know, 8 to 11.
As long as it doesn't doesn't destroy the integrity of the live events as we know.
Sorry,
them,
live event.
Where it's guys having getting some time to go out and have real matches and have fun with the crowd. That's like, if you just put like a camera on a tripod and put it up on the network, like that's fine. But if you turn it into a TV show, you're going to destroy the fun of live events.
You remember the one they were doing on MSG where they were having the best from Madison Square Gardens and they were showing the full cards and they actually would have the commentary crew there and everything. And it was just like one, it was only for the MSG network, but they would show the house shows on MSG. You know, and also they do from Philadelphia, from the Spectrum, and there's a couple other places they would do the show. But I thought that, you know, they would have Lord Alfred. You could give like a B player announcer to go there and do, you know, play by play or something, you know, or follow them.
As long as house shows stay the same, you're just filming them.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
But the second that they turn a house show into more like a TV show,
make an angle out of it or something.
It ruins hashtag Team House
Show. Artiste hit it on the head. They need to do nothing more than set up a tripod, put a camera on it, let it record. And walk away. That's all they need to do.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and who knows, maybe we'll get lucky and they'll take our advice someday.
Never.
Because they always are asking what you want. I've seen the surveys.
Yeah, but they don't really care.
Yeah, they usually don't. You're correct.
They're at least pretending that they do.
They certainly do. We got to go to break. We got one more break here, finishing in 2 hours.
I'm going to fix this printer again.
All right. You are listening to you can text us at 222-1280.
Let's call Office Space on it. I got a baseball bat from Sting.
All right. I got some rap music here. We'll do it.
You said that on the radio. I'm not breaking the copier.
222-1280 starts with his number. Yeah, you can do a little DX on it, huh? You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I want you to know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Polymers Food Service, and Don't Slight Empire Culver. Join us for WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view, April 26th, Sunday, April 26th, 4 weeks from tomorrow, at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 Eastridge Road. Starts at 8 p.m. We'll be there, have some stuff to give away, and of course, there's never a cover for WWE pay-per-views. Come join us, April 26th, for WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole and the Artiste.
You guys need to eat some excellent pizza and wings for me, because I will not be there.
Aww. Where are you going to be on a boat?
I'll be on a boat.
You're going to be on a boat?
I'm on a boat.
All right.
What is the date of that again?
That's April 26th. It's 4 weeks from tomorrow. Real quick, some news. Fight Network just signed TNA Impact Wrestling to broadcast on their network, so they'll be all through Canada real soon. It's a pretty good, big deal for Impact Wrestling. I mean, been putting on some great shows recently. You got to watch that Destination America Friday night, 9 to 11. Definitely check it out. Miz and Paige are off making a movie called Santa's Little Helper, and no, it's not about the Simpsons dog.
I read what it's about, and I just...
It's just about two people trying to become...
How sick are these windows on the 16th floor?
Yeah, jump.
But Paige is in a movie, that's all I heard.
Yeah, it's going to be her versus The Miz trying to go head-to-head to become Santa's number one, second in command. So it'll be obviously a holiday thing. There was rumors this past weekend, and I was going to address this with Booker T if he had called, that Scott Steiner was banned from the Hall of Fame ceremonies on Saturday after a photo surfaced on social media that was posted backstage instructing security to keep Steiner out with his photo included. Turns out that there was reports of an ugly incident on an airplane with Hulk Hogan's wife, Jennifer. Not good. Not good for Scott Steiner, but he's friends with Booker T, so maybe, maybe we'll get some of the lowdown if we ever talk to Book, and I'm sure we might sometime. There is no place for Ronda Rousey to work WrestleMania 32 right now, but like I said, October 25th, Hell in a Cell, they're back out in Canada, in California, Staples Center, so who knows? Who knows?
All right, here's my question. Because UFC fighters, I mean, when Ronda's next fight is in, what, August? And I'm surprised I know that. Why? I mean, whatever. If she doesn't want to do it, that's one thing, but how is her schedule that busy that she can't make an appearance? Like, what does she do the other 364 days?
It's not so much her schedule, it's UFC and Dana White wanting Vince and company to get any kind of rub off of a star they've established.
Yeah.
But it's cross promotion. I mean, if you let her appear at Mania, I just don't... Is that right that her next fight is in August, I think is what I saw?
Something like that, yeah.
So we're in April.
she's busy every single day until then?
No. I don't believe it. No, she trains a lot. But by the way, it's 3 weeks from tomorrow. Someone had to correct me. I don't know what today's date is. No, wait a second. 26th. That would be, that's right, 3 weeks from tomorrow. So thank you. Thank you, whoever called me and let me know. Cashman is not.
Apparently people like to point out mistakes people make on the radio.
Certainly.
Somebody also called in to Wham 1180 looking to talk with us about wrestling. I got a text about it.
Oh, yeah? Did they talk with him for a while?
I don't know exactly how it ended, but...
222-1280, star 1280.
One thing quick we never talked about from WrestleMania, how long until we get a Suplex City t-shirt?
Suplex City, yeah.
And there's a lot of them online.
And there's an additional word at the end.
Yes.
Of Suplex City, brrr. I thought that was
good. It's got a rap song.
Yeah, didn't you like that, that the camera was just close enough to Brock that you could hear exactly what he said when he said that?
It was fantastic.
And he was doing all sorts of suplex. They were Germans. They were all different kinds, you know. He just threw them all. He threw
belly
them like,
to belly.
He threw them like a rag doll all over the place. So that was pretty cool. Our friend Wade Barrett, past guest multiple times, three times, is going to be making a movie with WWE Studios soon. Maybe that's what explains why he's not in the ring. It's called The Eliminators, and he'll be filming this spring, so that's like what now? You know, it is spring, isn't it?
Technically speaking.
Yeah. Some other news. I'm going to get this out real quick because it's been sitting here for a couple weeks. Tommy Dreamer noted on Twitter that his next House of Hardcore event could take place in upstate New York, and I hear it might be winning, and it possibly might be the Burt Flickinger Center in Buffalo.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, so Tommy, he's been doing them mostly down in Philadelphia or Binghamton or, I can't remember, Poughkeepsie.
Oh, yeah, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, that's what it was. So so that'd be nice if he brought it up this way. We definitely, Tommy's a good friend of the show. I mean, well, I should say he's always available. I mean, you might hate us when we're not on the air, but he seems like a nice guy on the air when we have him, so. Hopefully, you see WWE just struck this huge deal with Tap Out to do all their T-shirts.
I already saw the commercials going.
Yeah, Tap Out commercials.
Why are you putting commercials on for something that comes out for T-shirts that come out in 2016?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Wow, I'm pumped. There's a new brand of Uggs that are coming out in 2018 too that I don't.
Yeah,
pitched by Tom Brady.
What are those flip flops? What are those flip flops with the holes in
them?
Yeah, you got some new Crocs that are coming out.
Sequin Crocs.
Don't even. Oh God.
I heard about the Artisan Croc. So
wait, what?
No. You're a Croc wearer, aren't you, sir?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
No. Actually,
is that what he meant when he said he has some fine crockery?
No. Actually, it was.
I'm a summer skates guy myself. Yeah. But no.
What was his? When you went to Syracuse to interview the DX,
we were standing there with
Billy Gunn
and Jay Lou and myself were standing there and there was a big conversation with Road Dogg and Jay Lou about Crocs, and Road Dogg had said he just got these little Crocs for his little baby girl and stuff, and I'm just like, what is going on with this conversation?
What is going on?
Billy Gunn and I started talking about something else, probably his great career that's very underrated.
Well, he certainly got a spot on WrestleMania this year. A lot of people did who you wouldn't expect. X-Pac was out there. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash.
Does DX go in as a group to the Hall of Fame at some point?
It probably will happen, you know.
Even though I still don't want groups to go in, I think it should just be individual people.
Well, you know, who's the guy that said, who is it? It was to Coco last week. Coco Beware said, I think only wrestlers should go into the Hall of Fame. It's like, but it's an entertainment business. Never mind. I wasn't gonna.
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. I certainly skipped over the Arnold Schwarzenegger induction.
Yeah.
I have not watched that. I don't need to watch
and
that.
And then there was we didn't even talk about today, Justin Roberts' interesting.
Oh yeah.
Write up.
Oh yeah, about Connor
Mahalik.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's you can tell he loves the kid. But he's, you know, painting WWE as taking advantage.
So sure. Well, we're done for the week. I want to thank everybody for listening. I don't know if we're doing 2 hours next week. I mean, I usually don't find out till, but if we do, I'll put it up on Twitter and Facebook. So, hopefully we'll make good with Booker T coming up in the future. And I want to thank you guys, Danny. Thank you, Rob, for being here. And thank you guys for listening. Check out our Facebook. Check out if you want to hear any old shows, it's thepainclinic.net. You can catch anything from the last couple of years. We got to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks.